Praise God. Tonight we are on the book of Haggai. And let's go to God in prayer tonight. The ministry of His Holy Spirit is always wonderful. But always we establish ourselves in the Word of God. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to hunger more for the Word. But it's a Word which is eternal and immutable. That's why we need to continue to establish, teach on the Word. Because we can be touched by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But our understanding needs to be renewed by the teaching of the Word. And our lives need to be established by the principles and revelation from the Word. So let's go to God in prayer, asking Him to open our understanding to His living Word. Father, we thank You, we praise You for what Your Holy Spirit has done tonight. And the deposit of Your Spirit that You have placed into each one of our hearts and our spirits in ways that we could not fully understand. But we do know, Father, that just by being in Your presence, we have received something into our spirit. And there was some change that has taken place in our soul, even as we sit in Your presence. And we do know, O God, that if we ever have the privilege of sitting in Your presence, even for weeks and months on end, we do know that our souls will be so transformed, that we will never be the same person. Truly, O Father, a day in the house of God, a day in Your presence is better than a thousand days. And we know, Father God, that something has happened in our bodies even as we sit in Your presence. And Father, from glory to glory, You are changing us. From glory to glory, You are transforming our minds. And we ask, O God, that even as we consider this Word of Yours, open the eyes of our understanding, that we may see the precious, precious jewels that You have placed inside Your living Word. And grant, O Father God, that in the ministry of Your Word, that each one of us here would be able to hear the voice of the living God speaking into our hearts and into our lives. Oh, Father, that the problems that we face, we may hear the solutions as we sit in Your presence. And the difficulties and the mountains in life, we may hear, oh God, the solutions to them as we sit in Your presence to hear Your Word. Hide me, please, oh Father, behind the cross, so they all may see Jesus and Jesus alone. And Your Word would be heard, O God, above my voice. O God, quicken the spiritual ears of each one here, that we may hear what Your Spirit is saying to the church in these days that we live. And we promise, O Father God, that in all that You do, we will always, and we covenant, and we vow before You to always give You the glory, to always give You the worship and the honor that is due unto You, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The book of Haggai tonight has two short chapters. And basically now we are only having the last three books of the Old Testament to consider. We only have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And all these are what we call the post-exilic prophets. Some of you who are Christians, who are very studious and sometimes read commentaries that only Bible students or preachers sometimes read, you may come across phrases like post-exilic and pre-exilic or exilic prophets. It's from the word exile and based on the Babylonian captivity. For 70 years, as prophesied by Jeremiah, the Israelites, after the fall of the southern kingdom, were taken into captivity. The date of the exile is dated from when Jerusalem was destroyed, not when Samaria or the northern kingdom was destroyed. So from the time that Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, and the Israelites were taken captive, they were taken captive in different batches. When they were taken captive, they began the exile, which lasted for 70 years. And so those prophets that preach or minister before the captivity, the Babylonian captivity, they are known as the pre-exilic prophets. Among them, we know that we have Isaiah and some the major prophets like Jeremiah, who was among those who were right there when the exile took place, and others that we have seen like Nahum, etc., who prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. And then there were those who were exilic prophets like Ezekiel and Daniel. They lived during the exile, and their ministries were during the period of the 70 years. Then there are others, the last part, who were prophets who started their ministry after the Israelites came back. We know that the Israelites returned under Ezra, and when Cyrus decree an edict that brought forth the Israelites back to their homeland, and it ended the 70-year captivity. As they returned during the time of Ezra, they were also prophets whom God raised. And among those prophets whom God raised were people like Haggai and Zechariah. And among the last was, of course, Malachi. So Haggai and Zechariah functioned together at the same time. And this was after they have returned from the captivity many years. In the story in the book of Ezra, we do know that they have started building the temple. The book of Ezra talks about the rebuilding of the temple and how they laid the foundation, etc., the first part of Ezra, and how all the works were started. And we also read about the conclusion of the temple in the book of Ezra. But somehow, between the beginning of the building of the temple and the completion, there was a period of time when the Israelites slackened and stopped in their work because of difficulties or opposition to their work. And during that period, Haggai the prophet came up. Some people believe that his ministry was a short one. In fact, Haggai functioned 2 months before Zechariah. Haggai was among the strongest of the first prophets that came forth to exhort the people to continue the work. And during a period when the work has all stopped because of difficulty, and everyone was no more paying attention to the rebuilding of the temple, God raised up Haggai. Some scholars believe that his ministry only lasted about 3 months, but we do not know. From the book of Haggai, we know that his ministry spanned only a period of 3 months, as given in the book of Haggai. But if there were other prophecies that were not recorded, then we know that he had a length of prophetic ministry. And so that is a deduction from or an assumption made from the absence of evidence. But as far as we are concerned, the length of time of his ministry is not that important, but I mentioned that in case some of you come across some commentaries who say that his ministry only lasted 3 months, whereas other scholars say that it was more than that. And the reason is because those who believe that Haggai is his only work, this book is his only prophecy, then of course it will be 3 months. But if there are other things outside of this book that we do not have records, then it will have been longer than that. Now in the book of Haggai chapter 1, the work has stopped, and everyone was now complacent. Nobody was interested in the rebuilding of the temple anymore. The zeal that had started was no more there. It is one thing to have a good beginning, but it's another to maintain it. Some people are very good starters, but they are poor finishers. They're enthusiastic about starting something, But remember, it's not just the starting. No doubt starting is at least better than not doing anything. But we have to be good starters and good finishers. And many times, in any area, not only in the ministry, but out there in the secular work. In the ministry, if God has called you, it is one thing to be full of zeal and the Holy Spirit and to start it off. But somewhere along the line, there will always be some hills and some mountains and some rocks to overcome. And that's when it gets a little bit interesting. That's when there are temptations to go to the side. And that's when the strong ones will last and the weak ones will fall in between. Those who don't have the stamina to go through. Out there in the secular world is the same if you're a Christian businessman. You know there's one thing to start a business, it's another thing to maintain it. It's just like one man of God who in the United States, he has built a huge big building, and then he's today selling off that building, and he has found out these things. And when analysts analyze what actually happened, they found out that it's one thing to build a building, but it was another thing to maintain it. The cost of maintaining it and putting the whole building into operation was even more than the building. So all these factors were not taken into consideration, which result in the whole project being sold off. And so we realize that, like Jesus said, before a king goes to battle, he must count the cost. Before we start, we must see whether we got the stamina to go through. And so in the ministry as well as in the business sector and even in the family life, people do not know, many of those newly married do not understand fully the married life or those to be married. Not that we're going to discourage each one of you. It's ordained of God. So, but what happened is that in many fairy tales, the story ends when the prince married the princess. But the fairy tale never tells you what happened after they were married. Never tells you how when the children came, the difficulties of life. And so many young couples don't realize that after walking down the aisle with the tang, 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 perhaps between 2 to 3 years later, they're going to have a few cries. Okay. Then the wife has sleepless nights. Husband has a few sleepless nights. And all these things begin to happen. And then all kinds of things begin to happen. They're discussing whether to move in this home or that home. Then they have disagreements. And all those things. Where the fairy tale ends is where many begin. And what they don't realize is that a marriage takes a quality decision to make it last. To make it last. Which is why one of the things that before we marry a couple, we give them a premarital counseling. We do that. And for those who are younger in life, we do it a bit more thoroughly. And one of the first questions we ask is, have you quarreled before? If both of the beaming young couples look at each other and smile and say, no, never, we love each other. Then most probably you hear the reply saying, then you must go back, quarrel first and come again. Because there are 3 stages in a relationship before marriage. The first stage is when you see everything nice about each other. And you're in love, and all you see is the nice things in the other person. First stage, cloud 9. Second stage, cloud 1. You begin to see the bad things in the other person. They begin to realize their idiosyncrasies in a person's life that you find quite hard to put up. So by stage two, all the quarrels start happening. All the disagreements start happening. And you're only at stage two. And it looks like you're now out of love.